This is Ultima Context, a podcast made by Ultima Festival of Contemporary Music in Oslo. A series of talks and sound portraits taking you deeper into the music. It's not exactly New York, but we're here in the centre of Oslo, in Norway, in an area of gridded streets and shops, with a gentle hum of traffic noise in the background. Five floors up, above a stamp collector's shop, we've come to meet Carmen Villain in her studio. She's getting ready for a live show at Ultima Festival in September 2021 at the legendary Oslo Art Space, Henny Onstad Art Centre. The theme of the event is Ambient Afternoon. And the word ambient relates to the immediate surroundings, but at the same time, ambient music is often associated with relaxation, of switching off, drifting, being surrounded and wrapped around in sound. Brian Eno started using the term about his non-rock music in 1975. Since then, it's been used to describe a whole range of musics, often sitting on the turning point between rock, pop, electronica, and classical music. If anything unites these styles, it's the idea of music as a sound field or a field of sound, where recording devices allow you to pick up whatever drifts into the microphone's range. We're drinking tea in Carmen's small studio space, which is packed with synths and other digital devices, an Apple Mac computer, electric guitars, amps, a clarinet, various bongos, and other percussion objects.
That's also something you can just play my music. And then this one is like a... These are my earrings.
Oh, yeah.
It's so nerdy.
Should we start by just talking a bit about the ambient music and the fact that you're taking part in an ambient afternoon in Ultima? What did that mean? Were you invited to, was that like the concept you were invited?
That was the, yeah, that was the sort of working title concept I was invited to do, which is good fun, I'm sure.
Because I mean, I know that you've been getting more interested in ambient music as a as a style, like recently.
I feel like it's sort of always been in my productions. It's always sort of been lingering in between, without it necessarily being completely. Obviously, it's not previous stuff. It's not particularly ambient, but it's just if you remove layers from it, and leave some, you will hear. There's quite a lot of atmospherics and stuff like that. So I'm always been interested in. Sort of textural and atmospheric sounds. So I guess I've been doing more and more of that, and especially doing just only instrumental stuff, there's like more room for that to kind of give the, yeah, that stuff more space. So, it's just a nice place to be, but it's just, I wouldn't say that all my stuff is particularly ambient. I think it's more a kind of a influences from that for sure. But there's definitely pieces that are more ambient than others, of course. It's just about sitting and lingering in the sound for a while or for ages, I guess, in the process of making it, and I quite enjoy it. It's kind of explorative. Whilst producing, sort of sitting with sounds and textures and harmonics that start developing, and that kind of, so it's I think it lends itself quite well to kind of triggering ideas for composition or arrangements or melodies. It's just, you can kind of find that in surprising places, I guess.
So what was your kind of method then at the moment when you're in that kind of mode for landing on certain sounds?
Well, I think it's about sampling, taking different samples from, like, it can be instruments or it can be field recordings, or it could be anything really. And then kind of throwing them through different processes so that to create sort of new sounds that I sort of wouldn't have thought of myself, which can surprise me a little bit.
Yeah. With the field recordings, what kind of places do you go, or what kind of things are you looking for when you're, do you sort of go specifically out trying to gather sounds in the outside or in certain spaces, or?
Well, not necessarily. I try to remember my Zoom recorder, which often drains the batteries while it's just turned off. It's actually a bit of a problem. I think I go through like 12 batteries a month or something because it just drains it while it's just, I think I have to get a new one. But anyway, but it's still a fantastic little tool. I try to bring it with me, especially if I'm going on trips or going somewhere new or something. But usually it's just, I'll just be doing life and then I'll hear something and be like, oh, that's an interesting sound. And then I'll either have my Zoom recorder with me or my iPhone, if I don't have my stereo Zoom recorder with me, and just grab the sounds that way. And it can be anything. I mean, I might be like, ooh, I need some water sound or something, which is quite a very go-to tool for a lot of us. But I love the sound of water. I just try to process it so it kind of creates something else. But anyway, so I might sort of go out for like a day if I'm somewhere new or beautiful and just try to find different things. But usually it's just grabbing stuff as I come across it, and it could be anything. Sounds like a hairdryer or something. I think it's actually just the street, somewhere on the street somewhere, and it's just a little grain of that.
I mean, sort of ambient is quite often, it's certainly in the past, it's quite often associated with sort of an idea of almost like being enveloped in the music, or it's quite sort of a cushioning kind of effect that you get from it. And do you think there's any I wonder sometimes if maybe in the sort of pandemic time it might explain why that sort of listening might be coming back, because people are sort of somehow in a home a lot more, and sort of maybe it's a kind of music that provides a sort of sense of reassurance or comfort in some way, or I don't know. Do you think there's any mileage in that?
I'm sure there's many reasons, and that's definitely probably one of them. And then I think like you say, I think the term ambient it can be a little bit misunderstood. Like the way I see it is more well, not misunderstood, it has different uses, I guess. It's definitely, for me, it's about sort of immersive listening, I guess. So for me, it's more of an active listening practice rather than a background thing. And although I'm sure most people think, oh, ambient, that's just for that's kind of back, it's meant to be like comfortable background stuff, and it's meant to sort of fill the room with sound and create an ambience. So I guess it can work both ways. But for me personally, I think I sort of like music that is very kind of atmospheric, but it lends itself to deep listening, so that you can actually hear all the details and all the things that develop within the very sort of a slow world, I guess. And So I guess I'm not really good on the history of ambient, so you probably know way more about that than I do. But in terms of it being sort of background music or like a comfortable, I think that's that's what's kind of become, you can criticize, I guess, lately, because it's really definitely been sort of hijacked by commercial corporate powers, and sort of, so what I see as sort of ambient as a sort of kind of quite complex art has become a sort of like easy listening kind of spa music almost, and there's definitely way too much of it out there, and with very varying quality.
What about how your music's kind of developed over the last, I guess, what, 10 years or something like that? Because obviously at that point you were, it was more like it was songs. They were pretty atmospheric and quite textural songs even then, I would say. But you're obviously moving into also doing more pure instrumental and sort of tonal stuff as well. Is that, how conscious has that been? Or I mean,
I'm not sure if, well, definitely, I mean, some sounds and tracks will definitely remind me of a state of mind or a time of life. Not sort of intentionally. It's not like I go, oh, this is going to be a track about this. It's not particularly kind of themed music. It's just more about where my mind is at the moment, I guess.
Well, instead of sort of writing lyrics, do you associate certain sort of emotions or experiences with certain tracks in a similar way, or is it more abstract kind of thing?
I find, for me, it's just an interaction between me making decisions based on what I get out of the sound sort of thing. So it's a very sort of intuition-based relationship. So it's, yeah, I find it doesn't really work to have like a theme, because I don't really know what the sounds will give back to me yet. It sounds very, I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's like a, it's a different communication, I guess.
And what's your favorite instrument for, what's the one that you, is there one that you sort of turn to most often first when you're kind of starting out on?
I'm very much a sort of software based person at the moment. So I've been, yeah, it's basically just opening Ableton and then it just depends really. I mean, it's I've been playing the clarinet a lot recently, which I quite enjoy. I'm not very good at it, but it does the trick for what I want to do. So yeah, it just depends on what it's asking for, I guess, which I don't really know until I'm in it.
Ultima Context is a podcast from Ultima Festival of Contemporary Music in Oslo, Norway. The presenter was Rob Young. Original music by Christina Sjergesen. The producer was Regina Dersen Christoffersen at Filt Oslo. For more information on what we do, visit ultima.no.